Praise the Lord. You know, that was written by apostolic lady, Sister Janice Jostrand, and one of our folks. What a beautiful, beautiful song. Praise the Lord. You know what? If I were the devil, and I'm not, but if I were, I would want people to believe that there's no God. I would want people to believe that, well, they're just out of nothing, and after they live a few years, they go back to nothing. I'd want people to believe, if I was the devil, that's what I want people to believe. If I was the devil, I'd want people to believe that there was a, if I were the devil, I'd want folks to believe that there's a big explosion. And out of all of that chaos came a creation. And that through time and through a lot of gas and explosions and all kinds of other stuff, finally some little amoebas were born, and out of that, cells divided and redivided and redivided. All the life forms that you see came out of chaos. If I was the devil, I'd want people to believe that. I would want people to believe that. If I couldn't get people to believe that, I would want people to believe that there is a God, it just doesn't matter. I would want people to believe that there is a God, he just doesn't care about me. If I were the devil, I'd want people to believe that at the very least he doesn't care, and if he does care, all he does is he's mad at me all the time. If I was the devil, that's what I'd want people to believe. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible says about God. Hey, it does matter what you believe about Jesus Christ. It does matter what you believe about Jesus Christ. Jesus claimed to be Messiah. He claimed to be the Christ. He claimed to be Messiah or Savior. He claimed that for himself. And furthermore, others claim the same thing for him. And the Bible declares it. Amen. So I would like tonight for us to look for the next little while into the Word of the Lord, and let's see if we can find out why Jesus claimed to be the mighty God. Amen. So we're going to start doing that tonight by reading some verses. We're going to read a whole bunch of scripture. So if you stand, you're going to be standing as long as I do. And that's fine. And that's fine. I don't mind. Amen. All right. Can I make this thing work here? Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? I think somebody ought to give him a hand clap of praise right now. Hallelujah. Now, some people believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in Jesus as the Bible teaches. There are some people that believe Jesus is the elder brother, that somehow he preexisted and God sent him down here in a body of flesh through some kind of a probation. And he loved the world so much, he turned to his son and he said, I love these people so much, you go down there and die for them. That's never made a lot of sense to me. I would call that child abuse. Sorry, but I would. Amen. If I love somebody so much, I ought to do the die and not send my boy to do it for me. If I love them that much, I ought to be able willing to do it myself. And that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that he sent his second in the Godhead, lesser than him, to go do something for him, but it taught that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. So the Bible doesn't teach the elder brother concept. The Bible does not teach that he's just one of many gods. There are some that believe that he's a god, but he's just one of many, and there's other gods up there. And so it doesn't really matter. You can believe in him or any of the rest of them, and it's all the same. And then there are some believe that he's an angel. Jesus Christ is an angel. That he's a demigod. He's an emanation of God, distant from God. And that's one of the things they believe. Some people believe that he's a prophet, and a great prophet, like Muhammad, or like Confucius, or Buddha, are one of those. And so there's a lot of things that people believe about Jesus Christ, but I want to teach tonight about what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible is a one God book. It teaches about one God. That's all it teaches. The Old Testament teaches just one God. And in the New Testament, Jesus claims to be that one God. So let's see if we can make sense of this here tonight. The Lord speaking to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4 said very clearly, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Amen. The Lord our God is one Lord. When you see, and you perhaps notice this in your Bible, sometimes the word Lord is written like that. It's all capital letters. And sometimes it's written with just the L capitalized. When you see it written as L-O-R-D and they're all capital letters, that means Jehovah. The word Jehovah means the self-existent one. Now, anything that's self-existent is powerful. Everything beside him is created, and he is its creator. But God is simply self-existent. He doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need anything. And you and I may say that, but we need a lot. You'll say that till you hurt bad enough, and then you'll be wanting a doctor. Amen. You get in legal trouble, you'll be wanting a lawyer. Amen. You get ready to die, you'll be wanting a preacher. It'll be like the woman that married all these husbands, and she married a rich man. And after that, she married an actor, a Hollywood actor. And after that, she married a mortician of all things. Amen. And after that, she married a preacher. And they asked her, "Why in the world did you marry such a variety of people?" She said, "Well, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go." So she thought she had all of her bases covered. But God is self-existent. Doesn't need anybody to exist. He just is. As a matter of fact, one of his names is simply I am. Amen. Not I was, not I'm going to be, I am. He said that before Abraham was, I am. Just am. He is the eternal, existent one. He just always is. And everything he is everywhere that he is. And he always was and he always will be. Amen. And so that's the God the Bible teaches. It said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And then in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10, it said, "Have we not all one Father, and hath not one God created us?" Hath not one God created us. Now this is what the Bible teaches. Now understand that at the time the Bible was written, probably the majority of the world did not believe this. They did not. They believed in a multiplicity of gods and all kinds, weird ones. It's interesting how how their gods and their celestial beings reflected themselves. That's it. Their gods were jealous and fought one another and had wars and stole one another's wives and had mad at their kids and kids getting mad at them and killing one another. They had some mean gods up there because it reflected their own lives. Now our God wants us to be a reflection of him. He does not reflect us. He wants us to reflect him. Amen. The Bible says we were created in his image. So he wants us to reflect him. That's what the ideal is, and that's what we are striving for. So the scripture asks the question, hath not one God created us? Notice we are created beings. We're not an accident. We're not an explosion. We were created. We were made. We were fashioned. Amen. In a particular way for a particular purpose. I'm so glad that I understand that life has meaning. That I'm not just here to get my kicks while I can, and gather all the toys that I can get together, and whoever gets below me clawing my way to the top. There's more to life than that. Amen. That's not what it's all about. That's not it. But that's what people believe. Some folks believe that, and that's why they're so vicious and unkind and uncaring. Because as far as they are concerned, this is all there is. But the Bible teaches that it is appointed unto man. Everybody say appointed. You have an appointment that you'll not break. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. So we are, folks, headed somewhere, and there is accountability in life. That's why there are people, the Hitlers and Joseph Stalin's life, and the other mean folks, they're not going to get away with things. There's a God at the end that's going to set everything right. Amen. That's why the Bible said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So you don't have to try to get even with people. You can forgive and get on with life and not be burdened down with a bunch of bitterness and anger and guilt. You can just put people in the hands of God. He will take care of it. Amen. So you don't have to live under that burden. In the end, some people sometimes say, well, I don't know why God allows them to get away with that. He doesn't. He doesn't. Amen. Time will come. Judgment will come. Just be patient and leave them in the hands of the Lord. Amen. God's first will is to save people. Now, some of us get the spirit of Jonah. You know, Jonah, you know, he got mad because God spared Nineveh. And he told him, he said, I knew you were going to do this. I'd get over here and preach these people and they'd repent and you'd change your mind. I knew you were going to do that. And he got mad at God because he didn't destroy them. Amen. Jonah had the same spirit some folks have today. Amen. They want vengeance and not mercy. For others, but for themselves. They want mercy. Amen. And so the Bible said there's one God and he created us. Then in Isaiah chapter 46 and 9, he said, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. God and there is none like me. He just very plainly says that I am God and there is none else. And then he says, I'm God and there's none like me. So it teaches one God. There's not another one. Amen. I heard of a guy that was in a trouble and he was in a situation. He's hanging on to a slim limb on the side of a steep cliff, and he called out to God and he said, help me, Lord, help me, God. And the Lord said, I will, son, just give me all of your life and everything you've got. Just surrender to me. And he said, anybody else up there? Somebody that doesn't require so much? Well, the answer is no. There's just one. There is none else. He made it very clear, didn't he? And in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So God is very careful to guard his glory. Now the place it said, no flesh shall glory in my presence. Amen. God does not want to share his glory with anybody else. And so his glory is his glory. He said, my glory I will not give to another. And so he just makes it very clear that he's sovereign. You don't have to obey God, but there's not anything you can do about it. He is God, and that's just tough. Like it or not like it, he's just God. Amen. And I'm glad he's a good God. Because if he wasn't, he'd still be God, and we'd just be stuck with it. And that would be a bad thing. If we had a mean God that wanted to torture us, wouldn't that be an awful thing? But I'm so glad I've got a good God that wants to save me and loves me and wants the best for me. Amen. And so he tells us very plainly who he is and that he doesn't share his glory and he doesn't give his praise to man-made gods. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 10. You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. He didn't say that we are they. He said, I am he. That's a singular. It's one. I am he. God is numerically one. One. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall be after me. The Bible teaches there's just one God. Amen. And then in Isaiah chapter 44 in verse 6, thus saith the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Amen. He's just the only one. There is no other. The beauty is, Jehovah says, I'm the King of Israel. Amen. Now, they had another king because they didn't want a theocracy. But he never resigned. He's still the king. And he's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. And then he said that he is his Redeemer. Amen. Somebody, now Redeemer is somebody that buys something back. Redeem. Something that was sold, something that was lost, and he's willing to exchange a price to get it back. He set the price. He paid the price. He set the price high. He said, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And the very God that was spirit that had no blood come and took upon himself a human form that had blood and shed the blood and gave his life so we could pay the price to be the Redeemer. Amen. Oh, what love. There's no love like the love of God. Amen. He said, I am his Redeemer and the Lord of hosts. Amen. The Lord of the armies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything's under his control. Amen. Then Isaiah 44 verse 8, he said, fear not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Amen. Now God is omniscient, so if there was one, he'd know it. But he said, there's none. Amen. This is it. Praise God. Amen. I'm so glad that I know that there's just one God. Hallelujah. And then chapter 45, verse 21 in Isaiah, tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Are we getting the point tonight? Kind of clear by now? I think he's serious about this. Now, it also tells a little something special. First of all, he says, I'm a just God. I'm telling you what, folks. I'm beginning to appreciate justice more every day. There's nothing worse than a judge that doesn't know how to be just. But we have a world full of them. The Bible talks about people being reprobate. That means they don't know right from wrong. And unfortunately, we have some judges that don't know right from wrong. They don't know how to judge. They don't know how to judge. Amen. And what a sad thing. But I'm telling you what, God is just. And he's qualified to judge. Because you see, he doesn't just hear the facts. He knows the facts. He doesn't just hear this side and hear that side and then try to make a judgment, but he knows it. He heard every word, and he sees every deed, and he knows the motive, and he knows everything there is to know about the situation. And so his judgment is always just. Amen. So that's why he's a just God. And he said he's the Savior. He said there's no other Savior. There's no other Savior. So any other Savior that claims to be a Savior is not the God of the Bible. Not anymore. So if Jesus claims to be the Savior, he's either an imposter or he's God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. So the Bible makes it quite clear that there's just one God. And then Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. So he's saying, I'm the creator, and I did it all by myself. Nobody helped me. I did it alone. I made everything. Now that's a pretty bold statement. That kind of clears it right there. He said, I am the creator. Amen. Now, let's turn over to the New Testament and look at some of these other things. And by the way, Malachi 3 and 6, he said, for I am the Lord, I change not. So he doesn't change. He didn't change his mind. He didn't become something different. He doesn't change. God is, the word, immutable. He does not change. Now the reason God does not change is because he's perfect. He needs not change. We need to change, folks. All of us. Some of us need a lot of change in our life. All of us need to change. Amen. Because we are not perfect. But our God is perfect. And he does not, and he cannot, and he will not change. So he's the same. Yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Now that applies to Jesus Christ. You know what it said? It said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's immutability. I'll get it in a minute. Amen. Say that real fast about five times. Amen. And so the same characteristic and the same trait that Jehovah of Old Testament said, I'm Jehovah and I don't change, is attributed to Jesus Christ in the books of the New Testament when it said he's the same, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he is immutable. All right, now, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17 said this of Jesus Christ, for he is, not was, he is, before all things, and by him all things consist. So that says to me that he is also the creator. Isn't that what Jehovah said? He said he made everything alone. He spread the heavens abroad by himself. And the New Testament attributes to Jesus Christ that all things consist by him. So the same attributes of the Old Testament that were attributed to Jehovah in the New Testament are attributed to Jesus Christ. Amen. He is before all things. That speaks of his eternality. Amen. He didn't have a beginning. Amen. He just is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, John's testimony, he said it this way in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 30. For this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now understand that John the Baptist was born before Jesus Christ. He was older. He was his cousin, but he was born before Jesus Christ. And yet he says, he was before me. Amen. And why could he say that? Why did he say that? Because he understood who he was. Amen. And we're familiar with this one and love it, don't we? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen. And then John chapter 1 verse 3, all things were made by him. There it is again. Jesus Christ is creator. He is the creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then John chapter 1 verse number 4 said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. Jesus is life. He said, I am the life. Amen. John said it this way, if any man hath Christ, he hath life. If any man hath not Christ, he hath not life. So he's talking about Jesus here. So Jesus then is life. Amen. And then John 1 and 14 said, and the Word was made flesh. Praise God. That same Word that was in the beginning with God and was God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now, that word begotten is very important. Amen. This tells us that Jesus Christ as a human being did not exist before Bethlehem. Because he's a begotten son. People talk about God, the eternal son. There is no such thing in Scripture. There is no eternal son. The sonship was for a specific time and a specific purpose. It started in Bethlehem. Amen. And will not need the sonship after the second resurrection. Amen. It was for the purpose of redemption. It was for the purpose of saving us. Because we need a Savior. It was a role that God took upon himself. Because no one else could do it. Amen. And he would not allow anyone else to do it. He didn't send another God to do it. He didn't send his son that was a little less than he was to do it. He did it. Amen. So the Bible very plainly tells us that we see in him the glory as of the only begotten. So he had a beginning in Bethlehem as a physical body. As a spirit, he always existed. Amen. He always did, he always will. He's omnipresent. But as a physical being, a body, that body began at Bethlehem. Did it pre-exist? Yes, in the plan of God. The Bible said there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was already in the plan of God before there was ever sin. God had already provided a Savior. In God's plan, we've said it before, we say it again, nothing takes God by surprise. God is not a God of reaction. He is a God of action. Amen. And nothing ever occurs to God because he knows. Amen. If you're praying and you can't figure out why God hasn't answered your prayer, it's not because he's trying to figure something out. He already knows. He may be trying to figure you out. Are getting you to figure you out. Amen. Better said. Amen. We want God to change things. Sometimes God just needs to change us. Amen. We're what needs changing, not things. And sometimes he changes things. And sometimes, if people will cooperate, it even changes others. Amen. Anybody know any hard heads here tonight? Amen. You can't convince them. And for God to do so, it takes time sometimes. He's got to put them through some stuff. Amen. All right. So, the Bible tells us that He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Now, in John chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus is praised that, "Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." How did He pre-exist? Not as a body. Not as an inferior being. Amen. He existed in the beginning as spirit. Just spirit. Amen. That's it. Just spirit. Some people have a difficult time understanding how Jesus could pray. They said, "Well, is He praying to Himself?" Well, let me ask you a question. When you pray, do you pray to yourself? Of course not. What do you pray to? You pray to the God, the Spirit that's in you, which is the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the kingdom of God is within you. When you get the Holy Ghost, He's in here, isn't He? He said, "I'm with you, but I shall be in you." So when we pray, we're not just praying to God up somewhere up there on a throne in heaven. We're praying to God right here. So when Jesus Christ, the man, prayed, you know what He was praying to? He was praying to the Spirit that was right in here. Amen. The flesh praying to the Spirit. Same thing happens when you pray. Flesh praying to Spirit. It's no different. Amen. It's just flesh, the lesser, praying to Spirit, the greater. Man praying to God. And that's what Jesus did. Amen. And so He lets us know that He's the eternal God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning." Amen. He's talking about Jesus Christ here, and He says He was from, or is rather, from the beginning. Amen. As God, there never was a time that He was not. He's the same. Jehovah the Old Testament, Jesus of the New Testament. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. "And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." That's Jesus talking. And He says, "I was there when Satan fell." Now that happened before the earth was even created, or before Genesis 1 and 1 ever came about. And He said, "I was there, I saw it." Amen. That's going back a ways. Praise God. And so he lets us know that He's eternal. Jesus is speaking of eternal, the attribute of God, of eternality. And then I think something that helps us to understand this is explained here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Now that really explains who we're talking about, doesn't it? Who did all of these things? Jesus Christ. Who was Jesus Christ? God manifest. The word manifest means revealed, unveiled, or revealed. Jesus Christ was manifest, unveiled, and revealed. Amen. God was. So He's saying then that God was unveiled or manifest or uncovered in Jesus Christ, shown forth in Jesus Christ. That was the reason that Jesus came, is to let us know how God really is. Amen. Praise God. And so He was God manifest in the flesh. And there's just one God. Didn't we learn that? I think we covered that pretty well, didn't we? Now, I'm talking about the Bible here. You get outside the Scripture, you can hear all kinds of stuff. Amen. But if you're a Bible believer, there's just one God. Just one. Amen. And I'm a Bible believer tonight. Praise God. And so, then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, he said, "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Brother Holly used to say that Jesus Christ was the full-orbed deity. Everything that God is was in Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's headquarters. Of course, quantity of God, God's omnipresent. You couldn't take all the omnipresence and put it in a human body. Amen. So that's how he was. Eternality, he said, "I was from the beginning." Amen. But everything that God is in Jesus Christ. Everything. He all the fullness of the Godhead is bodily in him. That's why we love that song. I love that song. It's all in him. I know we sing it a lot, but we'll keep singing it a lot because I still like it. Amen. Praise God. And if you don't, maybe you'll get it in a little while. Oh, I wish I could have written that. But Brother Farrell beat me. He got here ahead of me. But my, what a song. Amen. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in him. And I can't help. I know this next part may not have as much to do with what we're teaching, but I just like it. It said, "And ye are complete in him." Amen. Is something missing? You'll fulfill it in Jesus Christ. Is something missing in your life? You'll be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I promise that's the only place you're going to be fulfilled. How do I know that? Because it happened to me. Amen. When I get to wanting a bunch of other stuff, I found out that stuff never satisfies. But Jesus satisfies. Amen. It's all in him. Praise God. It's all in him. Colossians 1 and 19 said, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Amen. It's all in him. Hallelujah. Yes, it is. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." That's exactly what it was. God came down here in a physical human body. You remember those black signs with the white letters that had sayings about God? Remember those? You used to see them driving in the highway sometimes. Amen. I remember one that said, you know, and that all signed by God. And that one said, "Don't make me come down there." Guess what? He already has. Amen. 2,000 years ago, he did. He came down here. And he was reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. He was drawing people to himself. "Never a man spake like this man." Amen. "What manner of man is this, that even the waves and the winds obey him?" Amen. He came down here, folks, and he expressed lordship over every disease and even over death and over all the elements. Amen. He let us know he was God manifest in flesh, and he was reconciling, bringing back, gathering together the world unto himself. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't send somebody else. Amen. What was it? Is it Hallmark that says care enough to send the very best? God did. Amen. He came himself. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh. Praise God. John chapter 14, verse 8 and 9. Philip saith unto him, Father, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now, I can say that, but it's not true. When you see me, you don't see my Father. I might have some resemblance, but I'm not my Father. Amen. No human being can say that. There's not a man on the earth can say, when you see me, you see my Father. Not true. Amen. You may be a spitting image of your Father, but you're not your Father. Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. Amen. That's it. This is who I am. Amen. Because he was God manifest in flesh. Amen. So he's the only one that could say that, isn't he? No one else could say that but Jesus Christ. And be honest. Anybody can say it, but to make it true. Amen. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 20, he said, For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. That's omnipresence. There am I in the midst of them. Now, when he said that, he was in Israel. But if somebody was gathering his name some other place, he was there. How can he be that? Because he's omnipresent. He's in all places at all times. Amen. Now that's an attribute that is only God. So only God can be omnipresent. So Jesus is saying, I'm God. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse number 13. And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Ascended, came down, and still remains in heaven. He's everywhere. How can that be? Amen. Because he's God. He's just letting us know he's God. Amen. And then John chapter 8, verse number 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham was, but I am. Amen. And of course, they laughed about it. You see, here you are, not even just a little over 30 years old, not wet behind the ears, and you're saying you're older than Abraham. Yep. I was there. Made the promise. Provided the sacrifice. Amen. Preached the gospel to him on Moriah. Jesus said, I am. Amen. Now, they couldn't get this. They were blind to it. Amen. But Jesus is God. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. Amen. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. Amen. He just lets us know that, of course, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So he's saying, I'm the alphabet. It's like the ABCs. Anything that you need, you make up of the letters of the alphabet. Any word that is in the language is made up of the alphabet. So Jesus is Alpha and Omega. Anything you need, he is. If there's a word for it, he is. If there's not a word for it, he still is. That's why we pray in tongues. Amen. For the Spirit maketh intercession. When you don't know what to say, surrender. Start talking in tongues and God will say through you whatever it is you need. Because he's Alpha and he's Omega. He said, I'm the beginning and I'm the ending. I'm the first and I'm the last. Amen. And that he is. And then Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Amen. And in Revelation again, he talks about being the Almighty. If God's Almighty, then everybody else just might be mighty. But he's Almighty. And he has all power. So any power that is, he allows. He permits. It comes from him. Amen. So God permits power to those that have power. Amen. And John chapter 12, verse 45, He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. And again, he said, when you see me, you're seeing God. Because he's the one that sent me. Amen. And so the Bible very plainly declares that Jesus Christ is God. The key to understanding this is the fact that Jesus Christ is a dual nature. When you use the term Son of God or Son of Man, you're talking about God when he was in a human body. When you talk about Father, you're not talking about another God, but you're talking about another office of God, another role that God plays in the creation, and the Father of all things, and the Father even of the body of Jesus Christ. That's a role that he has. It doesn't explain everything about him, but he's just one God. And when we speak of things he did as the Father, that's the term we use. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, that's simply the spiritual nature of God. And it is holy. Amen. So don't make these three gods. Each of those terms just designates what God is doing at that time and the role that he is in at that point. Amen. There are things that he did as the Son of God, the Son of Man, that he could not have done in his spiritual nature. So he took upon himself that form and became a man so he could be our Savior. He had no blood. He could not die. So he took upon himself a human form that he could shed that blood and he could die in our stead. But at the same time, he's speaking of himself, he said, destroy this body and in 3 days I will raise it up. And he did. Now I can say that and so can you, but you can't do it. I've heard of some fellas that said, I'm going to come back in 3 days. Guess what? They're still dead. They said it, but they couldn't do it because they're human beings. Jesus said it, and he did it because he's God manifest in flesh. There's only one of him, and there'll never be another. Amen. So Jesus Christ is God. As a man, he experienced life in all of its facets, just like you and me. He got hungry, and he ate food, and I presume he liked it. I do. And I'm flesh. Amen. He got happy at times. He was sad at times. He was lonely at times. He subjected himself to prayer. The Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He experienced life as a human being. God experienced life as a human being. God understood us theoretically as God, but then he came to know us experientially as man. There's a difference in thinking, and that you understand what people are going through and then actually going through it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever thought you understood something until you went through it? And then you thought, whoo, the half was not told me. This is tough. Amen. And so Jesus Christ is God living life experientially as a man. Amen. He's God manifest in flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. To me, it helps to understand it this way. Speaking again, they're terms in the Bible. I am a father. I am a son. I am a husband. And if you see more than one of me, you need your glasses checked. Or you need glasses. Because I am one. Amen. That's it. You see, those terms simply define relationships that I have and roles that I play in life. My role in the sonship is not the same as my role as the father. And my role as a father is not the same as my role as a husband. In each of those, I'm the same person, but in each of those roles, I do a different thing and I perform in a different way. But I'm just one. So when you read these descriptive terms of God in his offices and in his roles and in his service, then you understand by the term that's used, the function that God is performing at that time. It doesn't mean he's another God. It just means this is what I'm doing right now. This is the role that I'm in right now. This is the function that I perform right now. So that's how we understand that Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh. Amen. And my favorite story about the Godhead, and some of you have heard it, but hang on one more time. I promise you that I'll tell it again. Amen. And when something's good, you just use it, right? Amen. Now, I love that story, the little boy that called on his daddy, and his father comes to his room. It's night. He wakes up. He's scared. And he goes to the room. The little boy, big old eyes. His daddy comes in. And he says, Daddy, he said, I'm scared. And his dad said, well, son, remember before you went to bed, we prayed. He said, I know we did, Dad. I'm scared. He said, Jesus is in the room. Don't you know that? He said, oh, I know that, but I'm scared. He said, the angels of the Lord are here. Remember, angels are all around. He said, I know that, Dad, but I'm scared. He said, you know what I really needed? He said, I needed somebody with some skin on. Jesus is here, but I can't see him. Angels are here, but I can't see them. I needed somebody with some skin on. Amen. And let me just say, Jesus Christ is God with skin on. That's who he is. He's God that you can see. Amen. He's God that you can observe. He's God that you can physically touch. It becomes tangible. Amen. Jesus is simply God with skin on. So he can identify us and we can understand him in a better way than we understood him before. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for your time. Amen. Your